On this edition of the Gaming Gang Extra, we have more Origins 2012 Raw coverage as Elliot and I talk with our pal Mark Walker of Lock and Load Publishing. We'll not only discuss what's currently available from the company, but also what's on the horizon and maybe even snag an exclusive or two. I'm your host, Jeff McAleer. Once again, we bring another interview from the exhibitors floor at this year's Origins Game Fair. We'd like to call these extras raw simply because the sound quality may not be up to our usual standards, and we present the pieces with minimal editing. I have to say, in our short time covering the gaming industry, and yes, it's only been about 20 months or so, folks, since we launched, there are a handful of people who it's always a great pleasure to talk with, either in person, over Skype, or through email. I can say with certainty, Mark Walker and his wife Janice fall into the category of folks who are a joy to chat with. Although you won't hear Janice in the interview, let me just say she's a sweetheart and an integral part of all things L&L. Interestingly enough, Lock and Load was one of the first booths that Elliot and I headed over to in order to get an interview, but things were so busy in the space that was shared with Byron Collins over at Collins Epic Wargames that it wasn't until right after the exhibitors room opened on Sunday morning that we actually had a chance to catch up with Mark. Mark Walker, our pal from Lock and Load Publishing, has joined Elliot and I on this Sunday morning here at Origins. And first off, Mark, how is the show so far?
It's been fantastic. I've heard folks say that it may be down a little bit, but this has been our best Origins ever. I mean, I've been real busy, really had a good time.
I don't know, maybe it's the gaming gang getting the word out about... No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. Well, you have a nice area here. It's a pretty good spot. A little bigger than last year. I know you're sharing some space with Byron over at Collins Epic Wargames. Let's talk about Lock and Load. And you've got some new releases that came out recently. I recently reviewed Nuclear Winter 68. Loved it. Had a lot of fun with it. Great story behind that as well. What's moving a lot right now at the show? What are you selling a lot of?
Well, we sold out of Space Infantry. And this we're on the second printing of Space Infantry. But it's one of those games that we put together ourselves. So we get it from different printers here on the East Coast. And there was one component of it that we lacked. So, you know, we didn't have as many here as we'd like, but we sold out of those, like the first day. Nice. Which is nice and less than nice, you know, sometimes. Right. Of course, all things zombie. I mean, 15 years from now, we could still be selling a ton of all things zombie. It's one of those games, as they walk by, they pick up and they play. People don't necessarily walk by and look at Lock and Load Band of Heroes and go, I want that. Now, if they're war gamers, they do it.
Yeah, they're looking for where Lock and Load is located. If they're war gamers, they're like, hey, where's Mark in the gang?
Right. You know, I think that's it exactly. Janice and I were talking about that, but all things zombie and Space Infantry are a couple of games, and of course, we have another game coming out, Run, Fight, or Die. They're the type of games where when people are walking by, it catches their eye. Nuclear Winter's like that, too. We've had a lot of Nuclear Winter sales here. I kind of like to introduce it as a nut-and-bolt war game that pits T-62s against dragons and giants, and that always gets everybody's intention,
right.
You know.
Yes.
And it's fun. I don't want to go on too much about it, but, I mean, it's that convergence of, we're not kidding around, this is a war game, and it's a lot of fun, but even though we're not kidding around, you better watch out, because there's going to be a dragon attacking your formation, you know, and it's just a lot of fun. Everybody laughs and plays it, I think.
You had mentioned Run, Fight, or Die, and you were also talking about zombies, and that is a zombie game, and I know it's on your pre-order right now, and people can go to the Lock and Load website to get some more information, but let our audience know what's special about Run, Fight, or Die.
It's a Richard Lanius design. I think many people that listen to your show have heard of Richard. Arkham Horror. He also did Defenders of the Realm for Eagle Games, which I know has been a huge game for Eagle Games.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a favorite of mine, too. Run, Fight, or Die is, it's not that difficult to describe. In short, I've often called it a zombie dice game, but I know there are other zombie dice games out there, and this doesn't share a lot with that. Play it up to six people. The game will also have a solitaire variant if you want to play that. Basically, everybody assumes a character, and that character has a character card which has zombies on it in different zones that are advancing towards you. And whenever it's your turn, you will be rolling dice, trying to pit them against the zombies, killing the zombies, or getting townspeople that help you or hinder you. That's part of the charm of the game. The game can end when you accrue five townsfolk. Okay. And when that game ends, everybody adds up their points. You get points for the life you have left, and you get points for the townsfolk that you have. Now, the interesting part, and I'm getting back to that, is the more points you get for a townsfolk, the bigger pain in the neck that person has been to you for the entire game. So, like, if...
The Screamer? Isn't there one? The Screamer or something like that?
Well, I mean, Richard, I mean, it's hard to play the game with a straight face, because, I mean, some of the people are the spunky mom, the cool guy, the hot chick with an attitude. And then there's one, like, an old maid. Now, she's one you get 5 points for, but every turn with the old maid, you have to play a die on her, or you get two more zombie. There's also an infected townsperson. And he gives you 5 points too. That's a lot of points, all right?
Okay.
But if on any given turn you roll 3 zombies, he also turns and he does 2 wounds to you. There are locations that you draw and that you can play for one turn. There's loot that you can get, like a chainsaw, which lets you kill more zombies. I mean, it just has everything you would want in a detailed zombie game, and it takes you maybe 5 minutes to learn. Great game. It's a family game. What I was going to say about the Playdeck people, they are just head over heels on it. There's probably a chance that the iOS version would beat the board game version.
Right,
so
sure.
That's the scoop on Run, Fight, or Die. We need more orders. I mean, pure and simple, just to be a salesman about it. The only thing that's keeping that game from being in players' hands is we have to finance our printings with pre-orders, and we just need more pre-orders for the game.
The vibe I get about Run, Fight, or Die is that some of the townspeople that you're saving are actually the kind of folks that you would see. They're kind of archetype horror movie characters that in a horror movie you would probably be sitting there going, oh, please, will somebody kill this one off? And you have to save them.
That's right. That's right. That's a real good point. Again, that's part of the charm of the game, is Richard is real fluent in the genre, as we all are. I mean, I think basically anybody that's alive today that loves film or loves game has seen all of these characters in their zombie films and stuff. There's even a character called, I can't remember her name now, it's called something like The Little Talked About Smart Girl, and it has this real cute smart girl, and she gives you a special bonus or whatnot. It has so much color, so much charm. We can't wait to get on people's tables. We think it's going to be a real big seller.
Speaking about big sellers, you've got some new games that have come out, or some that are right on the horizon. And of course, we've already talked a little bit about Nuclear Winter 68. What are some of the other titles that have just recently come out, or that are going to be coming out shortly, that folks can look for?
Well, huge for us is going to be War Party. Think Defenders of the Realm, although it's nothing like Defenders of the Realm, except it is a fantasy strategy game. But, I mean, it's going to be big box, lots of components. I think the MSRP is going to be $79.99. And that should be, it's very close. We ran a Kickstarter on that. Mm-hmm. It should be at the printers by next week. We're that close. We're doing the final adjustments to it, which will probably mean that if we're lucky, we'll have it in August. And I think we're doing a pretty large print run on that, which will either sink us or reward us, because I feel that those are the types of games that are just cross-genre. A war gamer would love that game. A fantasy gamer would love that game. Family gamers will love it. It's just going to be a big deal. So, looking forward to that. We also have our brand new here, Into the Breach, which is the latest World at War expansion. We also have out Operation Cobra, mm-hmm. which we actually released about a month and a half ago, right. But it sold out in 18 days. We seriously underestimated the appeal of that, so we immediately did another print run for that. That's in here, too. We have, of course, the latest printing of All Things Zombie, just got here. Honoré Patré, which is a lock and load expansion to Heroes of the Gap. We got the first air freighted ones right before we left, and then we'll get all the ones that are coming on the ship will be here next week, so a lot of people are looking forward to that. And we have new boxed copies of Toten Sontag. So, I mean, we have 5 or 6 games that have come out or been reissued in probably the last 6 weeks, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, we're getting going, but...
it's busy.
It's busy. Busy is good. Busy is good. Hopefully we'll get so busy we can get more people to work. So, it's good.
One thing I like to point out, too, as far as Lock and Load is, yes, you are known for some phenomenal war games. games or games that are kind of on the cusp of being a war game. But there are also some titles that you have that are not war games that people who may not realize Lock and Load has. House of Spirits is one. I believe that's a card game, and it's kind of a haunted house horror card game. What are some of the other titles besides, let's say, House of Spirits that maybe a non-war gamer would really enjoy?
Well, we have two games coming out, one in particular, that it will be one of the first games we publish that has absolutely no conflict in it, and that's called Keep Off the Grass. It's designed by Greg Porter. Many people will have heard of Greg Porter. If you haven't, Google his name and go, wow, man, he's done a lot of stuff. Keep Off the Grass is a very simple tile and meeple type game where you construct this matrix. The size of it depends on how many people are playing. Then in your turn, you can slide a tile or turn a tile. Whenever you connect the sidewalks, you can move your meeple from where he was to as far as you've connected. And all the tiles in between, you get to pick up and keep.
Okay.
If you run into somebody else's meeple and bump him off the board, you get to keep their meeple. At the end of the game, which it ends when nobody can move anymore, you add up the number of tiles, the number of meeples, and you win. You can play a game in 15 minutes, very addictive, multiplayer, no conflict, unless you talk about knocking people's meeples off the board.
Oh, no!
It gets rough. We're also working on another game of Greg called Empires. Empires is fascinating. It reminds me a lot of Carcassonne with combat.
Okay.
In it. You build castles, towns, connect them, fields. Every turn, you'll get a certain amount of gold depending on how many fields you own, towns you own, and whatnot. And you can spend that gold to buy soldiers or draw more tiles. The soldiers are generated from castles, and they're used to control your towns and to control your fields. Very simple combat, and that is that the unique way the tiles join, however many meeples are on the edge of the tiles, are the winners. So, like, if you're connected with somebody and they have three meeples on the edge of their tile and you have two, they defeat you and they keep one meeple. Simple combat, but nevertheless, it feels more like a strategy war game than a Carcassonne, yet I think it feels enough like a Carcassonne for Euro gamers to really enjoy. I know I enjoy playing it.
When you were talking about Stay Off the Grass, I thought you were going to tell me it's about senior citizens yelling at kids to get off my lawn!
Yeah, that'd be a great game. But I am a senior citizen, so.
We're getting there.
Not me.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry.
Stop aging.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Elliot will be, what, 39 forever? Is that what your game plan will be now?
Hey, Mark, what do you play for fun?
It's not Lock and Load.
I play a lot of games that aren't Lock and Load. And, you know, it's amazing that people sometimes I meet are surprised. I actually have met designers that say they don't play games because they feel like they influence them. And I'll say, yeah, I think that's the point.
Yeah.
You play games so you can learn new things. Stephen King once wrote in his book on writing, he said, if you're going to write, you have to read.
Yes.
If you can't read, you can't write.
I love that book.
Yeah, it's a great book. And I'm the same way. I mean, I play a lot of games. Lately, I've been playing a lot of stuff on iPad. Yeah, on iPad, I just finished Wasted Lands, and I also finished a Westnoff campaign. But for board games, I have played, of course, I just played Empires.
Wasted Lands, isn't that the Cthulhu?
Yeah.
How was that? I heard that there were some issues with it.
I thought it was great. And I read the same thing. I mean, I read, there's some issues, it's difficult, this, that, and the other. I got through it, no sweat. I mean, maybe if somebody came into that hadn't been a RPG gamer or a tactical gamer, they might have problems.
Sure.
But I started it, played through about three missions, just ran into a brick wall. Said, okay, I'm obviously not equipping these guys right or whatnot.
Yeah.
Went back, re-equipped them with different type stuff, advanced them in different areas, went through it. I mean, it wasn't easy.
Right.
But I mean, it was...
But you didn't want it to be easy.
No, it was a real good level of complexity. One thing I have been playing, a very small game, called Fleet 2025. It's put out by Victory Point Games.
It's our buddies at Victory Point Games. I know all about it.
Yeah. And it's designed by Chris Taylor, who you may or may not know.
I've met Chris. Yep.
Designed the levels in the original Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And, I mean... Excellent designer, and he's going to be doing a game for us based on that 2025 game in our World of War universe. So it'll be Naval Game 1985, and it ties in with our America Conquered release, which will come out later this summer. Think the Fleet 2025 system in the Caribbean, where that's fighting Soviets, Cubans, stuff like that, and it's actually going to include amphibious landings and whatnot.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
Excited about that. That's one of the games I've played recently. And other than that, I'm going to have to flag you down and, you know, I'll see you running over there. I go, wait, I remember what it was now.
So a lot of My Little Pony, is that?
Yeah, a lot of My Little Pony, Chutes and Ladders. I love Chutes and Ladders. Right. We've got a variant where we hand out MG42s, and, you know, that's the Chutes.
You know, I play a lot of Candyland, and then I end up very upset because there's no candy in it.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's say some of our listeners, which I would find amazing that they wouldn't know this by now, but if they're not familiar with Lock and Load, they want to check out what's on the horizon or what's available, what would that website be, Mark?
Thanks for bringing that up. It's www.lockandloadgame.com.
Very nice. Thank you so much once again for taking time out to talk to us again this year. And we'll be looking forward to sharing more reviews of a lot of your excellent games, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
There you have it. Once again, a big thanks to Mark Walker from Lock and Load Publishing for taking time to chat with us at Origins 2012. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more Origins coverage. And don't forget to get the latest in the hobby goings-on from Elliot and I on our next scheduled episode of The Gaming Gang.